So tonight, we have a teaching by Father Rick on forgiveness. Father?
Forgiveness is something that is goes hand in hand with our faith. It's what it's based on. Jesus came to forgive us by his dying and rising because we failed him. And in the course of events, God asks us not only to seek forgiveness, but to give forgiveness. And one of the things that I think is real true in our day and age now is that many people, whether they're Christians or Catholics or whatever, is that we kind of live our life as if we really are on our own. The feast that we celebrated Sunday, the feast of the baptism of Jesus, gave us, I think, should have given us an insight into the understanding that what God, what the Father revealed to Jesus and to the crowd standing around is two things. One, that the Father is always with us. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And what that meant is that he was always going to look down upon his Son and be with him, because Jesus was always the one who's going to do the will of his Heavenly Father. Secondly, it tells us that the Holy Spirit was given and led him out into the desert where he spent 40 days in fasting and praying. The thing is that I think it's feast of the baptism is not just the feast of the baptism of Jesus, but a reminder to us that what the Father revealed to Jesus, he wants to reveal to us, that the Father, through the gift of his sanctifying grace, is always with us. His love is there. And his love is always watching over us. And secondly, that baptism and confirmation, he's given us the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is there too, leading us and guiding us to walk the way of the Lord. And of course, Jesus has given us his strength through the Eucharist, his body and blood, by his dying on the cross. But I don't think people pay much attention to that actually in their day-to-day life. Problems come and difficulties, they're tossing a coin or trying to figure out what they have to do and how to solve problems and all that. I believe that Jesus would want us to understand is that our day-to-day life doesn't have to be just dependent upon ourselves. You know, it tells us that time and time again, Jesus every night spent time with his Father praying. Sure, he tried to open himself up to what it was that the Father was asking of him. And secondly, that followed the lead of the Holy Spirit. The other day I was talking to a guy who is a Catholic, but would only say that Jesus was a divine person. And I said, yeah, he certainly was. He's the second person of the Blessed Trinity. But he also was a human person. And he wouldn't buy it. He said, no, he is just a divine person. I said, no, he came fully human. And that means that, you know, he did not have some kind of a calendar in his head telling him everything that's going to happen and how he's going to handle it and all that. Now, he lived his life as we live our lives, not knowing what the next day was going to bring. People say, well, I think the gentleman was saying if he's God, he knew it. You know, he just had to because he's God. And that this is the great mystery of the divine and human nature, is that God, Jesus, when he came as a human person, set that divinity aside so that what he did every day was as unexpected, we might say, as any of us would expect what would happen the next day. He might have his plan, I'm going to go here or do this, but the other things that would happen, he was not playing a game. He was not pretending. So that, for example, when he went to the wedding feast and Mary comes up and says, you know, you ought to do something for this couple. And he said, I'm not ready yet. And then when Mary walked off, we have to understand that that's when the Holy Spirit kicked in and said, you need to do this. And so when the servant came over, he said, fill the water jars with water. But when he went to the wedding, if we think he went to the wedding because they were going to run out of wine and he was going to do a miracle, that's not how it happens. Yes, as he drew closer to the crucifixion, he could read the signs of the times and he knew he was in trouble, but doesn't necessarily say he knew exactly when that was all going to take place. The Holy Spirit continued to reveal that to him. It became a little clearer and clearer, you know, even when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said the time is drawing near. And that's not just because of his human nature. Certainly it was sharper than ours, but nonetheless, it was also the Holy Spirit leading him. And we have that same gift. And so the Holy Spirit can work in us and lead us and guide us. When we come up against situations and we don't know how to handle it, that we really should turn to the Holy Spirit and pray and ask for his guidance and his help. And I think the same thing is true when we come before God. We want to be forgiven. We have to be willing to acknowledge our weaknesses, our failures, not in listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, doing our own thing, thinking that we have all the answers. And secondly, to understand that to reach out to others in forgiveness isn't dependent upon an emotional response. When we decide to forgive someone, or we decide to be kind to someone, whatever it is, it's a decision that we make. And that's where sin comes from. Sin comes from not our feelings. Not because I'm happy, not because I'm sad, not because I'm angry. No, those are just our feelings. That's just telling me how I am. Sin comes when I decide to make a decision, sometimes based on my feelings or an attitude I may have. There is when sin comes in. So, for example, that somebody says something that's hurtful to me or they do something nasty that makes me angry. That's a normal response as a human being. The thing is, what do I choose to do with that? If I retaliate and say, well, my decision is to go beat the person up, okay. But I have to understand that that's not what God is calling us to do. And so I can make a decision that says, in spite of my anger, I will forgive this person. And the question is, what does that mean? Well, by and large, when we forgive somebody who has injured us or in some way hurt us, our forgiveness is the idea that I personally don't want anything bad to happen to this person. I want them in some way to know of my forgiveness. Maybe I'll write them a letter. Maybe I'll just say, you know, listen, I know you were upset. I want you to know I forgive you. Doesn't mean I have to change my attitude, that I have to become best friends with that person or anything like that. But it does mean that I, as a Christian, I will always want what is best for the person. Now, maybe I want them to be corrected. Maybe I want them to be helped. That's all fine and well. Maybe I want them to know that what they did hurt me. But it's not in retaliation with the idea that, man, I hope that person goes to hell for what they've done. No, I want to forgive as God forgives, which is to give us the means by which we can go to heaven. And I want that same thing for that person. So, you know, when you're driving your car and people do stupid things and you want to curse them and swear at them and blow your horn and bump their rear end or whatever it is that you'd like to do, and you say, listen, I'm going to say a little prayer for them. I'm going to pray that God keeps them safe, that person doesn't hurt anybody else, that maybe they get their head on straight and realize that they need to drive different. I say a prayer for them. I want to forgive them in the sense that I want something good to happen to them. This is what Jesus, why Jesus came and died on the cross for us, so that something good would happen to us, which would be his forgiveness, which would bring us into the heavenly kingdom. And our desire, whatever our feelings may be, we can overcome that by making a decision, a choice that says, I don't want that. And many times, the more we do that, the more our own attitudes as we live out our lives won't always be so negative. We may feel sorry for somebody because of what they said or did, or we may understand why they treat people unkindly because of the way they live their life or whatever. We may come to a better understanding. Perhaps our anger, our upset, our desire to do mean things will kind of simmer out. And more importantly, we will begin to seek genuine forgiveness. And as I say, it doesn't necessarily mean my attitude or my feelings have to change, at least immediately or radically. God may help us to begin to deal with some of our feelings. But I think we really have to understand that our feelings are not sins. When somebody kicks us in the shins and we cry out in pain, that's the feeling we have, and we may get angry at that. That's normal. But to go get a sledgehammer and hit the person in the head with it is a decision that I made, which is a bad decision. And probably a sinful decision. So our forgiveness is very, very important for us to be better able to open ourselves up to the forgiveness of God, so that we can do what Jesus did, turn to the Father, seek his grace, strength, and guidance every day, and more and more open ourselves up to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lived his life that way every day, listening to what it is that the Spirit was asking of him. And so he was not just tossing a coin and saying, heads, I'll do this, tails, I'll do that. He said, no, Father, give me your strength to listen to the Spirit and to walk his way with gentleness, love, and kindness, so that even in the midst of difficulties, I can always seek to love those around me, even those who misjudge me, hurt me, even seek to put me to death, that I can truly forgive them. Huh? What he said on the cross several times, huh? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Listen, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus, even amidst his pain and suffering, could make a decision not to be angry, but to forgive and give life.